All right. You probably won't be able to hear me as well as I was able to hear Les yesterday. I saw him. We were walking out to where they were having the wedding, and he was walking back, and I gave him a hug, and, you know, we did our thing, and I said, "Are you mic'd up enough?" He said, "Yeah, I got two." I said, "Well, that's good." And it was really neat. You know, when you have an outdoor wedding, you kind of are at the mercy of God, and that's why I think it's so neat. Because we were waiting for the party. Braden had come down the aisle, and we were waiting on everybody else. And Rob Reeder, we were sitting with the Reeders, and he looks at his radar and he said, "In about 10 minutes, it's going to start storming." I said, "We got 9 bridesmaids to get down the aisle. We're in trouble." But, you know, God had his hand on that whole thing yesterday, and it's pretty cool when you see that, because we know sooner they got done with pictures and everybody got into the reception hall and it just let loose. And I thought, you know, that's just God's way of blessing that union that went on yesterday. So, hey, the message today is, I had a title, Endless Love. You know, and for us, for me, this one kind of hits home because, you know, a week ago, Chris and I celebrated our 32nd wedding anniversary. And then last Sunday, we decided we were going to go to the Indians game, the Guardians game, whatever you want to call them. I'll call them the Indians. And because that's another one of the loves I have in my life, is just watching baseball at its simplest form. And the Guardians play it that way. They steal bases. They're pretty sound defensively. They don't hit a bunch. But they do it right. Well, wouldn't you know, the day we went, it was like 148 degrees. It was hot. And I bought the tickets, and not thinking about the way the field was set up, I wanted to be as close to the field as I can, so I had row B tickets out in right field. Direct sun all day, every day. It was hot. But we had a good time. Then we went camping. I was on vacation last week. And I wasn't sure I was going to be here this week. We didn't know what was going on. And Thursday we got home from camping. And I called Les and I said, "Listen, I know you're probably preaching this week." I said, "But I don't know that with doing the wedding and everything that you're going to have going on, let me take that off your plate." And God had pre-done all that, and he had a message ready, and Les was like, "Yeah, let's do it." I said, "Okay." So that's why I'm here today instead of Les. Sorry if you're here for Les. He did a phenomenal job yesterday, so hard to follow. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and Lord, I want you to just shut me down, Lord. I want you to speak through me what you want and know the congregation needs to hear, Lord. And give the congregation ears to hear what you want them to hear, and take all of my fluff and all my other stuff out of it, and just give them the message you want them to have. In your name we pray. Amen. So I did mention it, 32 years. You know, when Chris and I got married, I remember that day pretty vividly. And the rest of the 32 years, I'll be honest, I don't remember a lot of. Okay? Chris makes it really easy for me to live in harmony and peace. Funny, peace is going to keep coming up today too. Because when you talk about love and joy, you have to have peace. But Chris will tell you another story that he's the biggest dummy I've ever met. And I've lived with him for 32 years, and it seems like 200. But that is endless love. because she puts up with everything I do, dumb, good, or indifferent, knowing that I usually do it for the right reasons. So as we get into this, I want to take you to a passage that I did not give to Julie, and I'm going to look it up. Oh, right there it is. Matthew 22, starting in verse 34. That's the great commandment. And we're going to start here, but then I have some other passages that we're going to end in. And you know, while Les was speaking yesterday, I was like, man, it's funny because the passages he used were passages I had that I wanted to talk about today, because I want to understand just the kind of love that our Lord and Savior had for us. So the great commandment. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. If we do everything in love, we can't go wrong. You know, and people say, well, what if somebody needs corrected? That's fine. That's fine. You know, if I go out and speed, I'm going to get a speeding ticket to correct that. The state of Ohio does it in love. Charge me $75 for 3 miles an hour over. And I haven't had a speeding ticket for a long time. Mainly because I drive 45 miles an hour and my wife thinks it calls me grandpa. But Jesus answers this question. These rulers of the law, they were trying to catch him. They were trying to find a way to take him away. They were trying to find a way to get him out of the picture. And they were grilling him. And they asked him this question. And his response, again, was perfect. Because you cannot find any fault in saying the greatest commandment is to love. So, we start there. You know, the other things that happened this past week that reminded me of why God laid this topic on my heart. Shelby turned 30 on July 8th, and we had a 30th birthday party for her Friday night. And, you know, it was the standard, you know, brother or sisters and aunts and uncles, grandmas, grandpas, all that stuff. But then the girls, Lindsay, Morgan, and Chris, got into Shelby's history, if you will, and invited some people that she's worked with previously, she works with now, whatever. And it was just a pretty neat time. Not everybody showed up, obviously, but I don't know. We had, and again, I say we were at the mercy of God because we set up tents, we set up picnic tables outside. We didn't want to have it in the house. And a lot of good things came out of it. Number one, I got my garage cleaned pretty good because now we were able to host the food table in there in case it did rain, food wasn't getting wet, yada, yada, yada. But the amount of love and support that Shelby has experienced for 30 years goes back to the endless love. Because she, at times, doesn't deserve the love that was shown that night from people. I don't deserve the love I get shown every single day. But to go back to the great commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? I think we all love ourselves, some of us more than others. I'm going to tell you right now, none of you here will love yourself as much as I love myself. I like myself. I think I'm pretty good. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I have more flaws than all of you combined sitting here. I can tell you that right now. But you know, we have to take care of ourselves as Christians. What did Jesus say when we were fat? When you were fasting, it doesn't say let the fasting take hold of you and let it just look and let you go out and show people you're fasting. It says take care of yourself. Keep yourself groomed. Keep yourself. This is between you and God. That's the love we have. You know, when we pray, God doesn't want us to go out and be this great, draw attention to it to pray. We pray out loud in church. We pray out loud over meals. We do that. But the best prayer time I have is when it is just me and my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because I can feel His love and presence in my life. All right, we're going to get to some of these passages I looked up. Let's go to Romans 8, 31 through 39. I think Julia has it. Yep. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now that originally was 38 and 39, but I thought a lot of that stuff in 31 through 37 was pretty vital to what was going on here. Pretty powerful stuff. I'm just going to, so we're sure of it. And the title for that passage is Future Glory. It's in mine. And that starts in verse 18. But 31 starts God's Everlasting Love. So, and it gives you the list of things that God's love will conquer. And that list was pretty inclusive and exclusive. It was everything. So, guys, I want you to understand that even when you have obstacles in your path, God's love's going to get you through that. That is love that's never going to end. never going to end. You know, we say we love you a lot in society today. Sometimes we water that down, right? I think we mean it, but I say I love my dog. Is that really love? Jamie says yes. I can tell you, I believe it is, because I can tell Rico I love him. I don't love the other two dogs. They're loud and yappy. And they make me let them outside. They make me do all kinds of things for them. But Rico is self-sufficient. But I can tell you that Rico does not reciprocate the love I have for Rico like I think he should. Because when I walk through the yard, he is jumping on the back of my legs. He'll jump up on my chest. And I know he just wants my attention. But I want to get to the barn and get chores done and get back. I don't want to be accosted by a dog on the way down. But I can tell you, Rico has a love of his life. And it's Harvey. Beckett he tolerates, but Harvey will walk through the yard, and that dude, Rico, will sit at his heel and walk with him. He never jumps on him, does not get in his face. Harvey lets him lick him and do whatever to him. Rico is just a weird dog, because Harvey is the nastiest of the bunch. Pulling ears, pulling tails, all that stuff. Rico never doesn't flinch. Guys, that's the kind of love our God has for us, because we're nasty to him. But you know what? He never flinched. He never, ever bats an eye when we ask him for something we need. He saw that we as a people were terrible. We were killing the earth, the world, early on. What did he do? Sent his son. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he sent his one and only son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the love our God has for each and every one of us. Let's go to Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. No matter what circumstances you are going through, the Lord loves you with an everlasting love. And he continues his faithfulness to you. That's enough said about that verse. That verse speaks for itself. Let's go to John 1:12. And this is where we need to understand as Christians, this is where accepting the Lord and Savior comes into play. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You know, we all have great parents. Our God is the greatest parent has ever been associated with humankind, because he gave up his only son to become our parent. He didn't have to do that. Listen, him and Jesus could have lived and let the earth just go away. Pay for our sins like we deserve to pay for them. But he gave us the right to become children of God. It's not a privilege, it's a right. It's also a privilege. But all we have to do to become children of God is to receive him and believe in his name. Sometimes as Christians, we make this way harder than it has to be. Not as Christians. Sometimes as corporate churches, we make it way harder than it has to be. As Christians, we say all who receive him, who believed in his name, he has given the right to become. As churches, we make this a process and step by step by step by step. Once you receive him and believe in his name, you're there. You're there. That's how powerful God's love is. 1 John 4, 7 through 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this can all go back to that very first passage in Matthew when he talked about the Great Commission. The Great Commandment, sorry. And he said, yeah, love people. Sometimes it's hard for us to love everyone. Because I think also there's a point in Scripture where Jesus said, man, you need to love your enemy too. How many are good at that? Not me. You know what drives me nuts the most? And if you're this person, I'm sorry. I can sit at a stoplight and I'd be paying attention, right? And as soon as it turns, like when it's going from red through the thing down to green, somebody behind me is beeping their horn. People, relax! It's hard for me to show God's love at that point. Or this morning, I'm coming to church, and I'm driving in my grandpa-ly fashion at 52 miles an hour, and I see these people coming from up 61, and I'm like, I don't know, I'm 600 feet from the entrance. Two people fly by me going, I don't know, 70 miles an hour. And I hadn't turned on my blinker yet. But I'm just like, why are we in such a hurry? Because I think we at times forget about God's grace. And we forget about God's love. Because, you know, I'm happy to be coming to church. And these morons drive by me that fast. And then God hits me with, Matt, you got to love your neighbor. You got to love your enemy. Not that those people are my enemy. I wouldn't wish ill on them. But I do get a little joy when I go down 71. I'm going on a long trip. And somebody will fly by me and go in and out, weave in and out of cars. And then I see them with the pulled over. I get a lot of joy out of that. I beat my horn and wave. Show God's love. But that's the moron in me coming out. Okay? But here it tells us, if you do not love, you do not know God. So I've got to be better at showing the love I have for everyone, enemies included, because that's how God loves. And we've got to get back to loving how God loves, or we're going to find ourselves in a world of trouble. We're already in a world of trouble. There's only one way that's going to get better, folks. And that's if we as a humankind get better at showing God's love. Because we don't do a very good job right now. And it shows. Matthew 22:37-39. And we've already hit this one. But this is just the first, the greatest commandment. And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love the neighbor, love your neighbor as yourself. We've already talked at length about that. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. What does earnestly mean? What, Beckett? I don't know. My interpretation of earnestly means it's honest, pure love. I don't have to try. Right? So we need to keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Because you never know when that person is going to need you to show God's love to keep them out of something else they may be headed toward. I've said before, we all eyes are on us all the time when we're out in the world as Christians. You know, other churches, all eyes are on us because they want to see whether we're going to make it or not. Okay? As Christians, all eyes are on us because all the other sinners out there that have questions and need answers and need somebody to talk to are looking to us to see how we respond in situations. Because they want to see if we're different. Some people will never walk through that door until they see enough of us out in the community. And if they see a bad side of us out in the community, they're going to say, man, I don't want to be any part of that business. But I contend, you have to see me at my worst so you can see me at my best. Because then you understand what God has done for me. Because I am, by myself, am not a very good human being. But me with God at the center of my life, and there's days, Chris will tell you, I'm awful to live with. But then something happens and I figure out how wrong I am. And we move forward. And then it's not terrible to live with me. But let's go on. Let's go to this last passage, and I want to use it. Les used it yesterday. I had it higher in the hierarchy, but I want to wrap up with it. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. This is the best explanation I have ever come up with for the definition of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Love never ceases. You know what else love never does? Love never fails. So my challenge this week To all of us, me included, is put that passage at 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, put that in your brain, put that on your heart, and see how much different your week looks. Because love never fails. And His love never ceases. Because He sent His Son to that cross to die, then resulted in putting Him in the tomb, which He rose from, we have the eternal promise of eternal life with Him. That's love, people. That's love. And I want you to think about love as, and I saw it yesterday with Braden. And I remember seeing Chris come down the aisle. But when Braden saw Lexi come down the aisle, that's a powerful moment. That's a powerful moment. And that's how Christ sees us. He sees us as pure and white and innocent. And when Braden looked back there and saw Lexi and Jesse coming down that aisle, it was just a powerful moment. I hope it's one he doesn't take for granted. I hope it's one he remembers forever. Because that's how God sees us as Christians. That's how God sees the church. And we need to do a better job of showing that love out there. That's my challenge for you. Put that passage on your heart. Remember, it does not envy. It doesn't boast. It doesn't say how great we are. It doesn't want one everybody else has. We have the greatest gift in the world. Why do we need anything else? But I want you to challenge yourself this week to do a better job of showing God's love. It should flow out of us easy. It should show up in our daily lives easy. Because He has blessed us with so much of it. We should be overflowing with it. So I'm going to close this in prayer. Then we're going to have a time of invitation. And guys, if you don't know that love we're talking about, if you don't know what I'm talking about the resurrection, about the everlasting life, the everlasting love, make today that day. We'd love to pray you through that. We would love to pray with you about any needs you have, any praises you have. But I've seen firsthand in this last week just how much love has been shown. And I see how powerful love is. And we just need to do a better job of loving. So challenge yourself this week to show God's love in everything we do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before You. And Lord, I am in awe of the love You show us every day. The way You cover us in love. The way You surround us in love. The way You support us in love is second to none, Lord. And I just hope that as we go throughout this week, that we can show some of Your love through our actions and through our support of others and through our daily jobs and whatever situation You put us in, Lord. I hope that we can show Your eternal and unending love. Lord, I just thank You for the message, and I thank You for the way that You love us, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen.